the casting out of the Garden of Eden. This is a scene that most Christians and, well, even non-Christians are familiar with. I can almost picture it. Adam, Eve, Satan. They're all standing there listening to what God is telling them. They had just ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now God has come into the garden and he's confronted all three of them. You see, God created and breathed life into man, then entrusted the earth and its inhabitants to his keeping. To now be sitting there confronting them for doing the one thing that he had told them not to do, well, what God must have been feeling. I'm sure he must have been heartbroken that day in Eden. I don't know everything that was on God's mind as he made known the consequences for allowing sin into the world, but I do know one thing, and that one thing is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, God may have been telling Adam, Eve, and Satan what was to become of them, but at the same time, he was thinking about the day that his Son would come, live, walk, and die among us. That day, God condemned mankind because sin had entered into the world. Again, though, while God was condemning mankind on one hand, on the other, he'd already decided on the way he would orchestrate bringing mankind back to himself. Jews had long believed that there would be a coming Messiah. It is this very Messiah that God is talking about when he tells Satan, "Well, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Mistakenly, though, they were looking for one to come with might and with force. In the third chapter of John, we find Jesus and Nicodemus in conversation. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus, and this is in my words, not necessarily biblical words, but paraphrasing it, "You were so busy looking for the Messiah that you can't even recognize that he is sitting here talking to you." And Nicodemus, like most others, can't believe that Jesus is the Messiah because he's not some mighty warrior that's come to crush Israel's enemies. Again, you can hear Jesus speaking to him, "Nicodemus, you are waiting on the Messiah to come and crush your enemies. But I tell you the truth, Nicodemus, I have not come to crush your enemies, but rather to redeem them right along with you." You see, this is the good news of Christmas. Not Santa, not presents. This. It is not only the fact that the babe was born that night, not just the fact that he was born of a virgin, but the fact that God so loved the world that he gave this baby to die for even my very sins. Not just an ordinary baby, but his only begotten Son. You see, although I had read both Genesis 3 and John 3 many, many times, I have never done so in the same sitting. It is amazing that when you do this, and you think about the fact that in this manger some 2,000 years ago lay not only the Son of God, but also the very seed that God spoke of way back in the Garden of Eden that would crush Satan. You see, thankfully, it was not his condemnation that night that lay in the manger, but rather, it was his love. And why did he do this? Was it because he loved the children of Israel? No, it was because he loved the world. You see, it is no wonder the angels rejoiced that night. For they knew just what was going on in that stable. It was that the Savior of the world had put on flesh of a babe to once again dwell amongst us.